You are now tuned into Accelerate to Great Podcast with Nehemiah Davis, a podcast for aspiring and established entrepreneurs looking for their next level of greatness.
Welcome back to another episode of Accelerate to Great Podcast. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis, and today we have something extremely special for you. As you know, guys, I work diligently on building relationships all around the world with some of the most incredible, some of the most amazing, and some of the most brilliant minds in the world. And today, we have something special for you. When I say we got something special for you, this guy, Danny's so inspiring. He's so amazing. This man went from 8 years ago being dead broke to just last year did $987 million in sales volume in his company, one of the largest companies in Southern California. Number three in Southern California is going for the number one spot. And here's something else, guys. He have less employees than any of those companies. So we're about to have a special treat for you guys today. This guy's incredible. This guy's brilliant. He's a family man, an all-around motivator, CEO of Empire University, He's an author and, more importantly, has motivated thousands of people around the world and soon to be millions, I'm sure of it. So without further ado, I would like to welcome my friend, Dan, to the call. How you doing, my friend?
What's up, Nehemiah? How are you? I'm happy to be here, man.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for taking time out your busy schedule to get on this call, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And just for clarification, we did $982 million in sales.
We
were the number three real estate brokerage in Southern California, and yeah, we're pushing for number one.
I'm sorry, I said 987, but this year it's going to exceed $1 billion.
Gotta hit a billion.
Good. So let's jump right into it. I'm not going to waste a lot of time because I value you and everything you got going on. I want you to give a little bit of the background story. I already know the story, but we have some people on here who don't know the story. And then we're going to jump straight into some of the nuggets that you'll share about, you know, some of the strategies and tips to get you to that level. So
yeah, sure. My story is, I think, twofold. I think it's broken down into two different sections.
Yep.
You know, part one was when my family, my mother brought us here to California from New York City. At the time, I was 13 years old. And, you know, my parents decided to get a divorce, which was unfortunate at the time. What was more unfortunate is that my dad decided to not only stay in New York, but disconnect himself from us completely. So at that time, I became the man of the house. And I brought all of those responsibilities and I put them on my shoulders. I had a three-year-old little brother. I considered him basically like my baby, like my son. And I essentially started this relationship with my mother where she was almost no longer my mother. We kind of like co-parented and we kind of co-ran the house. And I know that may sound weird for people, but basically at the age of 13 years old, I was a dad and I was kind of running the show, basically, you know. 17, 18 years old comes around. I graduate high school. You know, at the time, I look around and, you know, no one in my family was doing anything big financially. And so, you know, I kind of just asked myself the question, you know, what do you want for the future? And it's almost like I had two little voices talking to me, one saying play it safe, the other one saying go for it.
Yeah. Wow.
And I decided to go for it, man. I decided to go for it because I was sick and tired of being like broke. I was tired of my family living in a two-bedroom apartment. I was tired of us living in the ghetto. I wanted more for us. I knew there was more possible. I didn't necessarily know how to get there, but I wasn't too concerned with the how. I was more concerned with this fire that I had inside my stomach that said I can do more. I can become more. And I launched my career in real estate sales at the age of 18 and a half, 19 years old. That's where it all started for me.
Wow. Listen. So pretty much you made a decision to be the hero of your own story.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's funny you say it that way. I do a lot of podcasts. Nobody has ever said it that way. Right. Essentially, that's what we all have to do. You know, if you really want to make it, you have to be the hero of your own story because damn it, I found out very early on and I was fortunate to do it. My dad gave me the greatest gift on planet Earth when he decided to not be around. The gift was the gift of realizing that there was no hero.
Wow.
Nobody was going to come save me. Yeah. Nobody was going to come rescue me. Life was what it was. Dead broke, two-bedroom apartment, living in the ghetto, unless somebody decided to make a change and somebody decided to do something different. And thank God that somebody was me.
Wow, major, major. And you say it because I've been a full-time entrepreneur 10 years for 10 years now, and I'm still not where I want to be. I know you've been at about 20 years or so. Still not where I want to be, but I made a decision at that time. My dad been in jail since I was 2 for murder. I got kicked out of high school. I got kicked out of college. I've been fired from 10 jobs. And after that point, I said, something has to give. I can't go back to a job. What am I going to do? I need to become my own hero. So at that moment, I made a decision that I would not go back to work a job. And I literally haven't went back since. And it wasn't because I'm this incredible, this super smart, super cool entrepreneur. It's because I made a decision, and I said to myself, this has to work where it has to work. And the problem that I see, Dan, with so many people, they make plan B's all the time. Well, I'm going to move to California to pursue my acting, but if it don't work out, you already set in your that is over with. Hey, I'm about to go try entrepreneurship, but I'm going to get a part-time job. This has to work or it has to work, right?
Yeah, and it's so funny. And I'll tell you something. I will admit something to you. I will admit that people like myself, and it sounds like people like you, have a little bit of an easier time with this concept called faith versus fear. Mm. You know, for some people, look, man, some people can listen to 100 of your episodes. Yeah. And as much as you want to help them out, until they take action and until they decide that fear will not control or rule their life, that issue of fear is going to be there, right? And I look at humanity like this, man. I look at humanity, and it's essentially why I do what I do, because I almost feel not guilty, but I feel bad in the sense that, like, you know, why was I able to turn my life around? Why was I able to do this and yet so many other people struggle?
Right.
And that's why, if I could be on as many of these shows as possible, if my book can impact as many people as possible, I feel like I would have accomplished my mission, because that's the name of the game right there, man. It's fear or faith. There is no in between.
Wow.
There is no middle ground. There is no gray. There's black or white. There's win or lose. Mm. It's that's just how life is. And the minute you say, I'm going to go for it, is the minute that you decide to live by faith. The problem is that the minute that you decide to say, well, wait a minute, how am I going to make it happen? Is the minute that your ego, we all have an ego, your ego tries to keep you safe and keep you in the box.
Yep.
The job of the ego is to protect you from feeling any sort of harm. Mm. So when you look at most human beings, they're either being controlled by two forces, the ego, which tries to keep you safe, or the spirit, which tries to help you unlock your true potential. And that's the constant battle, my friend, constant battle that people have to face.
It's crazy. I'm happy you said that. So let's talk about it, man. For you to do over 900 million, wait, you did well over a billion those 7 years, but over 900 million just last year, right? Right. What, you know, I'm assuming it takes a team to do it. How are you training your team? Tell me about your onboarding process, because in order for your agents to do so much better than so many other agents, it's a formula and it's a system. I know they're not just coming in like, well, Dan just said do X, Y, Z and it's done.
Right.
I know it takes some sort of mindset, some sort of training. Walk me through the onboarding process. You just hired me, right? And I'm ready to go crush it. What is it, some mindset things you got them working on? Like, tell me. This might be proprietary information, right?
No. I'll give it to you. And you know what? You're asking the right question. I'm just going to take it a little bit deeper than that. You ready?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. So check this out, guys. So Nehemiah says, this is going to be fun because now we're talking business here.
Yeah. Right? Yep.
Nehemiah says, you just hired me. Take me through the onboarding process. Time out. Before I even hire Nehemiah, I need to get clear with who my ideal hire is.
Ooh.
In other words, before Nehemiah ever steps foot in my office to talk about joining my company, I first got to get clear with who my ideal agent is. Who is my ideal customer? What do they look like? What do they talk like? How do they think? How do they show up? How committed are they? What kind of person are they? How do they interact with other people? How are they going to represent my brand? You follow me?
Yes. Yep.
Because here's the problem most people have in business. They're so damn busy working with the wrong people because they never decided who the damn right people were.
Ooh. Oh.
So many people get stuck in business because they're just trying to make money, right? Business is tough, right? Business is tough. On top of the fact that you're trying to keep the business alive, damn it, you got bills to pay. So you're just trying to make a deal. You're just trying to make something happen, right? And what I started to find out is that when I was living that way, I was stuck as a salesperson. I was stuck. My income was limited, though I was doing good by industry standards. Back then, 20 years ago, I was making $150,000 a year. Now that's not a lot. Back then, that was decent, right? But I, in my brain, I was stuck because I was chasing the deal. I was working 7 days a week. I was very inefficient. And then I go, hold on a second, Danny. Hold on. First, I value myself too much to be chasing people around. Second, I value myself too much to be getting my teeth kicked in by people that don't appreciate what I do. So let's talk here, Danny. Let's talk. If you had it your way, who would be your ideal client? And I grabbed a piece of paper and a pen, Nehemiah, and I wrote it down. This is what they look like, so forth and so on, right? Well, check this out. The second thing that I did was I said, okay, and if you found your ideal client, how will they know that you're the ideal agent for them? So the second statement I wrote down is, who am I? I got very clear with who am I, and I got very clear with who are they. Fast forward 7, 8, 9 years later, I opened my brokerage. Before I even signed the contract for the franchise agreement, before I even signed the contract for a lease, honest to God, I sat down at a park, I grabbed a notebook, and I wrote down, who are we? We're a place of change. We're a place of breakthrough. We're a place of growth. We take people who can't see and we help them to see. Because once they start to see, then they start to believe. And once they believe, then they take inspired action. You see now that just set the tone for who we are as an organization. Follow me?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's different than than, you know, I'm gonna make some money, homie. That's different. You see, now we're talking, now you got the lifeline of the organization. Right. And then the second thing I wrote down was, who is our ideal agent? Right. And I wrote down an entire paragraph, an entire story. We have 7 offices now, 400 agents throughout Southern California. And in every single office you write, you see those two words, those two statements, they're framed and they're hanging on a wall. Why? Because those are the driving principles of the organization. So that's step number one. You follow me?
Wow, that's good. I'm writing. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. So now watch. So now let's take it a step further. So now Nehemiah comes in. He sits down with me. And based off of the guiding words that I created, quite honestly, within 5 minutes, I can tell if I want Nehemiah or not. You follow me?
Facts.
Right? I go, 5 minutes or not. You know, there's been time I remember one dude sat down. This was very early on. And I was talking about how we were going to change the industry. We're going to be the best training company in the country, blah, 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 blah. And he wasn't trying to hear it. He was just trying to talk about other stuff. I honestly just said, hey, man, you know what? I don't think you're a right fit for us. And to be honest with you, I don't think we're a right fit for you. He goes, you know, I don't think so either. And I go, okay, good. Well, we'll just save some time. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And that was it. Case was closed. I'm a get to the point kind of guy, man. It's either black or white. There is no gray. You know what I'm saying?
And you know why I like that so much? Because you just, it's transformational what you said. Here's the thing that I've been on, Danny. I've been going to a lot of masterminds, and I know I was listening to various videos you put out. You talk about how you was investing a lot of money in different coaching, masterminds, books. And I've been doing the same this year, about 20 grand this year in education, which that may be nothing to you, but for me, you know, 20 grand on education. Yeah. And as I'm learning, I'm not hearing people say like super transformational thing. It's little nuggets that you hear and you take those away and apply it. They're worth hundreds of thousands or millions. But so you just said something to me that I never heard. So now I need to hire better to see if you're even a fit. Because how am I going to motivate somebody who don't even really want to be motivated? The crap is stupid.
You know what you just did? Here's what you just did. You just dug a hole for yourself that you're going to spend 2 to 3 years trying to dig out.
Right. Yeah.
Versus if you would have just gotten clear with who the right person is, right? Then you save all that time, right? Now check this out. So now I decide that Nehemiah is the right person. Nehemiah, if there were 100 real estate brokerages all around me, guess how many actually have an onboarding process? Guess. Take a wild guess.
Not many. Probably like 10.
One.
Right.
Why? Because to them, hiring someone is just a transaction.
Right.
To me, remember my mission statement. We take people who can't see and we help them to see. And when they start to see, then they start to believe. And when they start to believe, they start to take inspired action. We're a life transformation company.
Wow.
So you see, we have an onboarding process, right? It used to be a two-day process. Now it's a one-day process, a one-day onboarding process where we bring in everybody that joins the company. We spend an entire day with them. The different leaders come in and present, so they get to meet all the leaders, the different heads of the different departments, whether it's HR, compliance, our accounting department, our chief operating officer, whoever it is, they all come in, they meet, so forth and so on. But again, why do we even have an onboarding process? Because of what I wrote way back in the beginning. Make sense?
That's good. Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of value. Listen, guys, podcast over. That's all you need to go do. that was amazing. So, because one of my future questions was like, how are you keeping them motivated? But you're already motivating. You're already hiring them, already ready, aligned with the vision. So that literally eliminates that.
So let me tell you a story. I'll tell you a story. And this story is in my book, by the way. Hired a guy named Travis. Okay. Travis, at the time, I didn't know this. I would see him in the office and I would notice that he was showing up and he was always tired. He wasn't getting much done. He sold maybe one or two houses his whole first year. And finally, that's not up to our standards. So that's the second thing. We have minimum standards and we hold you to those standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, hey, Travis, he came to me. He goes, hey, man, I need to talk. And I go, yeah, you do. You sure do. Come step in my office. He goes, all right, man, let me have it. And I go, let you have what? He goes, I just, something's wrong. At the time he was working at Target at night. He didn't have any money. He was stealing from his son's piggy bank just to put gas in the car to get to the office.
Wow.
And I'm pretty hardcore when, it's okay. I'm pretty hardcore when it comes to this stuff like this, because, you know, ultimately when you're living through mediocrity, I'm just going to spit.
Yeah.
Just do what I do. Yeah. When you're living through mediocrity, whether you like it or not, it's because you like mediocrity. You're accepting it.
Yeah.
You say, no, I don't. No, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because right when you decide to do something great and you get afraid, what do? You back down, back into your comfort zone. That was the ego I was talking about at the very beginning. So I look at Travis. I go, Travis, the reality is this. When your hair cut, when your hair gets out of whack, what do? He goes, I go get a haircut. I go, why? Why do you go get a haircut? He goes, because I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way I look. I go, oh, so you don't like it, huh? I go, yeah. I go, Travis, you're fucking broke right now. And I said, you know why you're still broke? He goes, why? Because you like it. I go, no, I don't like being broke. And I go, make no mistake about it. You like it. You enjoy it. You love the shit out of being broke.
Mm.
He goes, and he was like flustered. He was like, no, I don't. I go, yes, you do. Because just like getting a haircut, right? When you don't like it, you fix it.
Facts.
In this case, you must like it because you haven't fixed it. So I said, like, it was a life-changing moment. Remember in Jerry Maguire when he made him say, show me the money?
Right.
That to Travis, I'll never forget. We still laugh about it to this day. You know, because I was like fired up, right? Yeah, fired up. I said, Travis, repeat after me. I love being broke. No, he goes, I can't say that. I go, no, bullshit. You're in my office. These are my rules. You're going to say what I tell you to say, damn it. Yeah. Say it right now. Say it like you mean it. I love being broke. He was like, I love being broke. I go, no. Say it with passion. Yeah. I love being broke. I love being broke. Say it. And then by that time, he starts crying. I love being broke. Right? And I'm making him say it like 5 times. And I go, how'd that feel? He goes, I get it. He walked out. That next year, he made $180,000 where he was making $18,000 a year. It was insane.
Transformation. Insane.
Yeah.
So tell me one of your biggest mistakes that you made in these past 7 years as you grew. So a lot of us, we always talk about success, getting to the next level, but sometimes I like to hear about your mistakes so we can help someone else avoid them.
Look, I can't tell you about mistakes I've made in the past 7 years, because honest to God, I think I've played my cards pretty well.
Gotcha.
Okay. I will tell you about the mistakes I made right before I started the brokers that caused me to go broke.
Gotcha.
And this is one thing, because you're a younger guy, you're going to have a younger audience, and this is something that people have to be careful with. Psychologically speaking, when you go from not having any money to all of a sudden having a lot of money, which is what I did from 19 to 27 years old. I went from literally, you know, two-bedroom apartment to $1.5 million a year at 27 years old. What starts to happen is that you don't realize this, but your whole purpose becomes to show the world that you've made it. And so everything that you do with your money is external. It's you know, you buy the fanciest car, you buy the Hermes belt, you do all these things, because subconsciously speaking, you're trying to, how can I say this? You're trying to prove to yourself that you're not that poor kid from the ghetto anymore. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. And that's why I went broke the first time. It wasn't the economy's fault. It was my fault. I didn't prepare myself correctly for that. Wow. And so that was the biggest mistake that I made, is if I could help. I just had an event, Relentless. We had Rob Dyrdek there. We had Ed Milet. We had Alex Rodriguez from the Yankees. We'll have it again next year for your audience and for you if you want
to
join it.
I wanted to come this year, but something was like conflicting.
Next year, man. Next year. So third day was Wealth Day. And on Wealth Day, I actually teach people what to do with their money, right? I can't go into too much detail, but if I could give all of your audience some advice.
Please.
If you're building a business, your number one priority is to put away 6 months reserves. Get some reserves put away, because if you can put some reserves put away when the bad times come, then you're covered. You're covered. And what you do, the second objective that you want to have is to get on a salary. The money that your business makes does not belong to you. Let me say that again. The money that the business makes does not belong to you. It belongs to the business. So what you want to try to do is put yourself on a fixed salary as soon as possible. When things go good, you pay yourself a little bonus, because ultimately you're an employee of the business. So financially, you have to make sure that things are solid, because Apple wouldn't be Apple if every time they sold this phone for $1,000, Tim Cook pocketed $1,000.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Facts.
The money goes into the system, and Tim Cook gets his salary plus stock options. There's a system in place for the money, basically.
Well, why you had to give us two more wealth keys out of there? I like though. I just put myself on a salary in this last year, and I actually love it. It just makes all the sense in the world now.
Yeah. Number two, buy assets, don't buy liabilities.
Mm.
So I don't say this to brag. I don't do this to look. This is a $40,000 watch, right? This is the Rolex Skydweller, right? I bought it at about $30,000. I got a great deal on it. Don't ask me how I did that. I just did. So I built in $10,000 worth of equity, right? On top of that, if anything were to happen, I'm enjoying this. This is an asset. This is a $40,000 asset that I own. Does that make sense?
Because you can make more than what you paid for it.
Oh, yeah, this is, absolutely, absolutely. I own art. Art is an asset. I own Picasso, right? And I get them at wholesale prices. So if the art costs 20 grand, I'm spending 12 grand on it. I've got 8 grand of equity, but no matter what, I've got 20 grand worth of, right? We've got diamonds. These are all assets that, cash, gold, silver, cars are not assets, that are liabilities.
Facts.
As long as your people understand that. I drive a nice car, right? I drive a Tesla. My wife drives a Model X. I don't have any problem with that. I can afford it. I don't even cut the check. The business does all this, right? In my mind, I just know I'm throwing money away for the safety and comfort of my family, and I'm okay with that.
That's good.
See, there's a difference between assets and liabilities, right? And I think your people have got to focus on taking their money and buying assets. When a new office needs to be opened, that's an asset.
Yeah.
Income producing assets. So we invest money in it. If you were to look at my, here, I'll show you. If you were to look at my studio right now for my podcast, we have the best camera equipment in the world. We've got the best computers. We got these are all assets. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, these are all things that are going to help me make money, and they're ways of reinvesting the money back into my business.
Facts.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, man, look, especially when you're young, have fun. Don't get me wrong, because part of having fun or part of success is having fun. It's, you want to wear nice clothing, you want to drive a nice car, but don't do it excessively. And also remember to, like I teach my kids, put 50% away for savings and 50% you do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. And my kids have been raised with that principle, and that seems to help.
Wow, that's amazing. So we're going to wrap up. We're going to do a couple more questions, get you out of here for the day. Once again, I'm so grateful for, you know, your time and your energy. How you do business in 2018 isn't the same way you do business in 2015, 2016, 2017. One of the things I notice a lot of people doing is they take too long. I just had Billy Jean on a podcast, and he talked about the importance of speed and taking massive imperfect action. Is there a certain way, because I'm trying to personally figure this out. There's so many people who say they want more out of their life, like you say, mediocrity. They want to get to this next level, but they lack in the most important key to it all is execution. I see people going to college. I see them doing all of this, and they're still not achieving the results they could because they keep waiting. Do you have any advice for someone who's like teeter-totter, like, hey, I want to execute? It's like I always tell people, like, how do you learn how to swim? You only can learn how to swim by getting in the pool. You can't learn on the outside of the pool, like, hey, how do you swim? So I'm trying to train people to execute more, but I don't know if there's like a special tactic that you try to get people to act quicker on things.
Sure. So I'll tell you a story. And I appreciate your intensity about this because the heart behind it is that you genuinely want to help people.
Absolutely.
I was mentored once by an individual who made $1 million a month.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from Texas, this dude. And he said, Danny, he said, always remember, people are who people are. And what he meant by that was people are who they are based off of their exposure, based off of their surroundings, right? Mm-hmm. And their exposure, their surroundings, what they listen to, who they listen to, all of that is going to influence their actions. Make sense?
Yeah, that's perfect.
So watch the book. So here's the book, right? The reason why I wrote the book is because I felt like a lot of people need some basic fundamental help. So look at how we wrote the book. We wrote the book chapter by chapter as a guideline. Look at number one, live by faith, not by fear.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. The reason why that's number one is because I don't give a damn what you want to do or how special you think you're going to be. If you're not living by faith, the train stops.
Facts.
Okay. So then you master live by faith versus fear. And then step number two, decide what you want. I don't think people are really, really clear with what they want. I think people have an idea that they want to do something special. Maybe they have an idea they want to make more money. They don't know how much more. They don't know in what vehicle. They don't have number three, make a plan.
Mm.
You have to create the plan. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a difficult plan. I'll be honest, one of my greatest secrets, I'm not the brightest guy in the room.
Same.
I live by faith. I decide exactly what I want. I make a very simple plan. And then look at next chapter, number four, you're gonna love this. Take massive inspired action.
Action. Yeah.
Not weak sauce, chicken shit action. Massive inspired action. You have to go for it. But now, even if I were to stop right there, watch how they built on each other. You'll never take massive inspired action if you don't have a plan.
Facts. That's facts.
Right? You'll never have a plan if you don't decide what you want.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll never be able to really decide what you want if you don't first decide to live by faith versus fear. So the book is written in a way where it's a roadmap. That's why we call it
the resilience. Right, right. And it's funny you said, and we're going to plug that in the show notes, but one of the number one DMs I get is people, hey, I want to take your program. I want to do this. And then when it's time to invest, wait, I didn't know it costs money. I didn't know.
Yep.
And I'm like,
they live by fear, not faith. That's why.
And you know what I'm doing now, Dan? I'm making a free mindset course. Hey, go take this course first. Come back to me once you're done that, and then let's see where you are. Because so many people don't have the fundamentals down, such as don't live by fear, live by faith. They don't know make a plan. They don't know write your goals down. They don't know the positive the power of positive thinking. And a lot of these things, to some people, they may sound like fluff, but these are the fundamental building blocks to every successful individual who I know, who I interview, and every multimillionaire and billionaire.
Bingo. End the story. End the story.
Yes. Yes.
End the story. And you know, and the okay, so let's talk about this. So here's what the ego says. That stuff is, come on, man. That's fluff. You don't need to be listening to that stuff. That's all that like hype garbage stuff. I'm telling you right now, that's the damn game right there.
That's it.
I just showed you the game.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And it's nothing difficult about it. So,
Then
you go flat broke tomorrow, 2018. What's the first thing you're going to do to work on acquiring your wealth again?
Step number one, shake myself off, live by faith, not by fear. Step number two, decide exactly what I'm going to do, what the plan of attack is going to be. That's step number three, decide the plan of attack. Step number four, once I got there, I'm going to go get my ass to work. And honest to God, I work 7 days a week for 3 years until I make it. Wow. Here's what your people have to understand. This last business that I built, we got to $1 million in revenue in less than 6 months.
Wow.
Okay. Money's not the problem, people. Money's not the problem. This is the problem. So I go flat broke. When you said that, I go, cool, bring it. It doesn't matter to me.
Because the mindset is already right.
Sure. The mindset is right. The lessons are right. I've spent 20 years. Here's what I've done, and I'm going to plug you just because I feel your energy and I appreciate who you are. I've spent 20 years of finding people like you and you telling me, take my course, and you saying, I don't know what it costs, $19.99, and me going, let's do it, I'm in. 20 years of that.
Wow.
20 years of that, over and over and over. I just went to an event in Newport Beach a month ago. I went as a guest. Brendan Burchard was there. A bunch of other people were there. And I go, hey, they don't even have to pitch me anymore. I go, hey, how much does it cost to be here for the year? $30,000. Okay, sign me up. Sign up right away. Just because of the value of learning. You'll never get to that level, though, or to be able to afford that level if you don't practice faith with these smaller courses, guys. You got to understand what you do to yourself whenever you see a course and you go, I want it. And then you see the price tag and you go, oh, that's too much. You're killing your dreams. You are reinforcing in your mind the fact that you are afraid of money, and you are sending out into the universe the thought that you do not believe in all your heart and soul that there is plenty of money out there. Because if you believe, guess what? Then you would sow it.
Whoo. Wow. That's a nugget right there. Oh my gosh. And that's crazy because that's where I am now. Is now I'm like, I invest the money in these courses, these programs, because I understand like the return, like the biggest return you will ever get is the one you put in yourself. There's no return, real estate, gold, no return will give you a higher dividend than what you put in yourself.
So, I'm going to take it a step further though, Nehemiah.
Yeah.
Remember, every action has a consequence.
Right, facts.
So it's not just the return. It's also the return on the fact that your mind didn't let money stop you from making a decision, right? There's that return. Right. And then there's also the consequence of the message you send to yourself when you have an opportunity to do something and you back down from it. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Right.
This is a big deal. It's like flying. Right. I remember when I finally decided I don't like this coach stuff. I'm flying first class. That took me a long time because it was messing with my head. How am I going to pay that much money to go on a plane when I could pay $300? Why am I going to pay $1,300?
Right.
Well, then I would never be going on. I got invited on my first, we're going on a G2 in 2 days. We're flying out of Van Nuys. We're going up to Pebble Beach to go see the unveiling of my friend. He made a deal with Aston Martin. He's unveiling 3 Aston Martins. Wow. It's going to be a bomb trip. There's 7 guys going. I mean, it's just, but I would have never, you know, again, they presented me with the opportunity. I go, yeah, I'm in. Let's do it. I'm in. But you gotta start allowing yourself to live by faith. And you gotta understand, guys, that money is literally like a big old water hose. There's plenty of it everywhere. If it's not coming to you, it's not coming to you because you're not bringing the world enough value and because your thoughts are off. That's it. That's it. Keep listening to podcasts. Keep reading books. You'll get there eventually. But the minute you're afraid of money, it's like you step on the water hose and it can't flow to you. It can't flow to you.
Wow. Listen, we're going to leave it with that. I don't know if you want to close with anything. Let people know where they can support you. Let them know about Empire University. Let them know a little bit about, and we're going to plug that in the show notes because people need to stay connected to you. I'm following you every day on social and it gets better and better. So I just want to say thank you for the value that you bring to the world and to me. Thank you.
I appreciate that, my man. Yeah. So Instagram is probably the best place. Just because I have a lot of fun there. I enjoy it. I enjoy Instagram. But then also, if everybody wants, go to my website, DannyMorrell.com. Says all about me. My story has a couple of our shows on there. You could just stay connected that way. And then if you want to come to Relentless, RelentlessEvent.com. We're in the process of booking the dates, so forth and so on. It's going to be another powerful event. That'll be next July.
You know who you got to get? You got to look up Inky Johnson. I don't know if you ever looked up Inky Johnson. When I say one of the greatest speakers in the world, no, I'm not. It's no fluff when I say it, like the best, like one of the top guys. So I want you to check him out. I think his story would be incredibly impactful for your audience. I know this year was incredible. Every year you get better. So I definitely want you to check that out. And I'll be there for certain. So I appreciate you, Danny, so much for taking time out your busy day and your busy schedule. And guys, this is Accelerate to Great. If you can't put this information to use, I don't know what to tell you. So please do not take what Danny said for granted. This man is making money. He's impacting lives. And more importantly, he is an advocate of helping other people get to that next level. So I want to say thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate the Great. Stay tuned for what we got next. See you guys.